Well, today we're wrapping up this series, and for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about this question of, okay, how can we become a community of givers? And we've been diving into this passage in Luke chapter 10 where Jesus talks about loving our neighbors as ourselves, and we've been diving into it for the past 3 weeks and just diving deep into and discovering, okay, God, what do you have for us here, and how do we begin to move from where we are to where we are actually living out what it means to be a community of givers? And we started off this series and we talked about the foundation and everything that goes into that and what allowed the church in Acts chapter 2 to be able to take these words of Jesus Christ, love your neighbor as yourself, and to be able to put those into practice. And we looked at this foundation that they understood that everything that they had, everything that was around them, that this wasn't eternal. That one day it was all going to be gone, but that they were eternal. And they had a choice. They could either begin to live for what they saw here, they could begin to live for the next 80 years, or they could begin to live for eternity. And then they realized that everything that they had, everything that was around them, it wasn't something that they were entitled to. It wasn't something that they had earned. That when you really look at your life and everything that you've been given and you look at how you've gotten it, you realize that most of it was totally outside of your own control. And they realized that what they had, they weren't entitled to it. It was a gift. It was something that had been given to them. And then they realized that, and this is the most important part in that foundation, that if you're not entitled to it, if it's a gift, then you it's outside of your control. But the great thing about that is the one who gives the gift, their Heavenly Father, their God, he was actually fighting for them and not against them. He was on their side. And so we started off this conversation of how do we become a community of givers, and we talked about this foundation and the fact that all this is a gift, but it's been given to me by one who's for me, one who fights for me. And then we moved on from that and we began to look at the motivation and we dove into this story and we began to realize as Jesus is telling us this story that our motivation is not what we thought. That we don't just love and serve and give to our neighbors and those around us because it's the right thing to do. We don't just do it because God tells us to do it. We do it because when we come to this passage in Luke 10, we realize that at one point we were actually the man in the ditch. And that our motivation is no longer it's right or we have to. Our motivation is now the fact that we've been loved and we've been served and we've been given to. And so now we can begin to love and serve and give to. And so we looked at the foundation and we looked at this new motivation. And last week we looked at taking that step and moving out and acting. And we heard the stories of those who are sitting beside you right now and how they're taking that step, how they're moving forward, and the stories of God's faithfulness. And how this isn't just something that happened in the stories that we read in this book, but this is something that's happening right now here in this church with the people who are sitting right next to you. And so we looked at the foundation, we looked at the motivation, we saw the stories, and today as we wrap this up, what I want us to do is I want us to look to the future. And I want us to go back to this passage one more time. And this is, I love what we're going to talk about today because this was one of the first things that blew me away about the story of the Good Samaritan. Let me read to you the passage again. It starts off in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. It says, "One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question, 'Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus replied, 'What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?' The man answered, 'You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'Right,' Jesus told them, 'do this and you will live.'" Remember how we talked through this man is in trouble at this point, right? Because he realizes, I haven't done that. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem, and this is a story we've been watching play out week after week here. From Jerusalem down to Jericho, when he's attacked by bandits, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." "Now which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits?" Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." And we see in that the motivation, and we see him act like we talked about last week. But the thing that blew me away about this story when I first began to study it and first began to dive into it wasn't the fact that he acted, because the truth is, I think most of us want to act. I think for most of us here, we want to act. When we see that man lying in the ditch, I think we want to act. I think we want to be able to make a difference. When we hear the story of someone who's lost their job and they're struggling to make ends meet, I think we want to make a difference. I think we want to act. When we look at, right now we've got someone in our church who's coming up and he's been on the missions field before and we've helped them get there before, but right now we have someone who's going to be spending the next 2 years of their life in the Philippines loving and serving, and he's going to be raising money to be able to go over there and love and serve like that. I think a lot of us look at stories like that and we say, we want to act. We want to give. We want to make a difference. See, the amazing thing to me wasn't the fact that he wanted to make a difference. It wasn't the fact that he acted. The amazing thing to me, and I think this is the key as we continue to move forward on this journey, was the fact that he was actually prepared to act. Because I think a lot of us want to act. I think a lot of us see things, and maybe you see something on TV, or maybe you're exposed to a story. A couple months ago, we had a group of people come in from Link. It's Liberty in North Korea, and they're taking refugees out of China and bringing them to the point, because in China, North Korean refugees have no rights whatsoever, and they're taking them to the place where they do have rights and where they can begin to live a life where they can actually experience life, where they're not always hiding and running. And they talked about the fact that it only takes $2,500 to move a refugee from where they are in China to where they can begin to establish their life. I think a lot of us hear those stories and we say, we want to act. But for most of us, we can't. And for most of us, it's not a question of want. It's a question of can't. The issue isn't whether we want to act. The issue is whether we can act. And this morning, as we look forward and we look towards the future, I want to begin to establish for you what I believe the vision is for God, that God has for us as a church, and where we're headed on this journey and why we're walking through this together. And I think it can be wrapped up in its best form in a story that I heard a couple weeks ago. And I was at a conference, and in this conference, they were talking about biblical worldview, and they were talking about the way that we view the world and the way that Jesus Christ viewed the world. And they're talking about the differences between the way that we see the world around us and the way that Jesus Christ sees the world around him, and the way that he's calling us to see the world. And so he was giving examples of this, and he talked about all sorts of different people who were in very tough situations because they were beginning to live life like what Jesus Christ calls us to live. And one of the examples that he gave was a businessman, and the businessman came to him in his office, and he said, "Listen, I'm in this business, and my company, like, we are taking advantage of everyone that we can possibly take advantage of. And overseas, we're doing things that are just inhumane." And he started to tell him everything that was happening at his company. And he said, I look at what God calls me to do and to be, and I realize that I need to do something. I need to stand up. I need to say something. As he began to see the world the way that Jesus Christ saw the world, he realized he couldn't continue to go the way he was going. But he said to this guy, he said, "But if I do, I'm probably going to lose my job. And in the conference, the guy continued talking, and he talked about worldview and all this other stuff, and we worked through the whole session, and we got to the end of it, and he opened it up for questions, and without fail, the first question was, what happened in the situations? What happened in the story? What ended up happening? And he said, the truth is, most of the stories that he shared ended up ending very well. And in most of the situations, God worked things out where it just, everything fell into place and it really ended well. He said, but not in the case of the businessman. He said, a couple of weeks later, the businessman walked back into my office after we'd walked through what Jesus Christ said and what it meant to be a follower of Jesus Christ and what he needed to do. And he said, the businessman walked back into my office a couple weeks later and he said, you know what? I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing. He said, I was shocked. I was blown away. Because this man wasn't like just a beginner on the journey. I mean, this was a man who was faithful, someone who was pursuing Christ. He said, I'm just going to continue doing what I've been doing. And the guy said, why? And the businessman looked at him. He said, listen, to tell you the truth, if I thought that the church would do what the church was supposed to do when people stood up for Jesus Christ, I would stand up for Jesus Christ. But I know that they won't. Let me explain to you what he was saying there. As we began this journey, we looked at that church in Acts chapter 2, right? And the way that they were giving to those around them, the way that they were serving, the way that they were taking care of those who were a part of their body. And what he was saying is this. He was saying, listen, if the church was going to be like the church we read in Acts 2, and in Acts 2, people were standing up for Jesus Christ left and right, and they were losing their homes, and they were losing their jobs, and they were losing everything that they held dear. But the church was making sure that they were taken care of. And those around them in the church were giving up what they had to make sure that no one went without. And that businessman looked at him and said, listen, if I thought for a second that the church would do that, I would stand up for Jesus Christ in this situation, but I don't think that they will. And as I heard him say that, I was crushed. Because the truth is, and this is the question that I asked myself as I heard him say that, I said, what about Hoboken Grace? If someone in our church family, in our church community, realized that they needed to stand up for Jesus Christ and they needed to go a different direction because of what God said, would we be able to take care of that person? And I was crushed because I realized that we probably couldn't. And I'm not saying that the businessman's decision was right, because believe me, it has to start somewhere. And you don't take the step because you think that the faith that the church is going to come through. You take the step because you believe that God's going to provide for you. But I was crushed. And I realized that where God's taking us, what God wants us to become as a church family, is to be a community of people where someone can stand up and no matter what it costs them, we make sure that they're taken care of. Now, over the past couple months, we've had several people come to us who've lost their jobs. People who are struggling. People who are trying to make ends meet. And as a church, to be honest with you, we've been very limited in our ability to be able to help them. And I believe that as we look to where God wants to take us, as we look to what God wants to do inside of our church, He wants to develop a church here in Hoboken that begins to love and give and serve in such a way that when Dario comes to us and says, listen, I believe God's leading me to the Philippines to give my life there for 2 years, we can turn around and say, we're ready for this. We're going to be able to provide for this. Let's get you going. I believe God wants to raise up a church here that's loving and giving and serving and pouring out in such a way that when someone in our community stands up and at work and says, listen, guys, this isn't the right thing to do. We should really try to do this a different way. And their boss turns to them and says, listen, if this is who you're going to be, then you're gone. We're able to take care of them. We're able to provide for them. A couple days after I heard that story at the conference, I heard another story by a man named Francis Chan, and this is a man who's had a huge impact on my life and this journey. And he was talking about the relationship that he had with the elders at his church and the decision that they'd made to begin to love and serve and give. And as they made that decision as a church, they began to work through that as individuals, and they began to make this commitment to give 50% of everything that they had, their time, talents, their treasures, to those around them. And they looked at their retirement accounts and they said, listen, I can't continue to build into this retirement account while people go without food. And so they said, we're going to give up our retirement accounts. We're going to begin to trust Jesus Christ with what He's given us. And we're going to begin to give and love and serve. And they looked at one another across the room and they said, okay, guys, we're going to take this step together and we're going to make a promise to one another that if anything happens, no matter what happens, if anything happens to any one of us, that we will take care of one another. And those guys gave up their health insurance, their retirement accounts, everything so that they could give more. And they looked around that room and they said, okay, we walk out of here today. Anything happens, we take care of one another. You know what that's called? A church. And as we look towards the future, I believe God wants more than anything to raise up a group of people here in Hoboken who begin to look at our time and our talents and our treasures in an entirely new way. Who begin to commit to one another that, listen, we're going to take care of one another. And we begin to follow God in giving and loving and serving. But you know what that's going to take? Preparation. You see, the truth is, if we continue to live the way that we're living, there are going to be a couple of times where we're going to walk past that man lying in the ditch and we're going to be able to help them out. The truth is, there are going to be a couple times in our life where we're going to be able to be that good Samaritan. We're going to be able to help that person because that's just where we are right now. But there will be a lot more times when we walk by that guy and we just don't have anything to give. Unless we begin to prepare. And we can know the foundation. We can have all the motivation in the world and we can be ready to act. But I'm telling you, if you're not prepared, you will not live a life as the Good Samaritan. If you don't begin to prepare to impact lives, you may occasionally impact lives, but you will not live a life as the Good Samaritan. And the thing that blows me away as I read this story is not just the fact that he acted, but the fact that he was prepared. And for a lot of us, we look at this story and we say, well, he must have just been a wealthy man to be able to put him up in this inn and to be able to provide for him while he healed. You don't know that. The one thing we do know is that he was prepared. And there are going to be a couple obstacles to being prepared, and I want to talk through those today. And John, is John in here? John, can you see if they can turn the AC back on? Because I see like people dripping out here. And just to give you guys a heads up on this, they just installed AC in this place, right? But right after they got it installed, this vent over here started making this noise. And so when they turn it on, it's going to make a little bit of a noise. But I can tell from your faces right now that you would rather have noise than any more heat, right? So we're going to try it with the noise and see what happens. And maybe we'll have to kill the noise. We don't know. But we'll keep moving forward here. There are two obstacles that are going to come in our way when it comes to preparation. And the first of those obstacles is going to be faith. This journey always comes back to faith. And sometimes when we talk about preparation, it in our minds, for some reason, almost goes contrary to faith. And for a lot of us, this idea of faith is that we don't plan, right? And have you ever read through the New Testament and you hear the words of Jesus Christ where he's saying things like, where he's yelling at the guy for building barns, right? And storing up things in his barns. And Jesus, over and over again, he talks about selling everything that you have and give it all to the poor and come follow me. And at one point, he tells a story about this man who built all these barns to store everything that he had. I don't know. Can you? Yeah, that was a miracle right there. Can we try it? All right, let's try it. We'll see what happens, all right? Maybe we can cool it off and then go from there. So he steps in. He says, he's telling us all these stories about this guy who builds these barns and he stores all this stuff, and then that night he's gone. And he talks about the waste of building up everything that you have, right? And the waste of accumulating what you have for yourself and using it on yourself. And then at the same time, you read verses like the verse we find in Proverbs about the ant. And you go ahead and bring that up here. Next one. One before that. Hopefully in there. Ants, they aren't strong, but they store up food all summer. Proverbs 30, 25, and 20. And over and over again in Proverbs, at the same time, you read all these passages that talk about the wisdom of planning, right? And Proverbs tells us that not planning is to be a fool, right? And then you get to the New Testament, and Jesus is telling us that building barns and storing up all this stuff is just a waste. So what is he talking about? And for some of us, we read through what Jesus Christ says and we come to the conclusion that, well, faith must be that we just don't plan, right? Faith must be that we just live day to day, that we just, there's no planning involved, there's no preparation, we're just doing what we have to do, right? But here's where the two come together, and it has to do with this idea of faith. Because faith is not the absence of planning. If you guys only get one thing out of today, get this out of today. Faith is not the absence of planning. Faith isn't that you don't have a plan, that you're not prepared. That's not what faith is. Faith is planning and preparing based on what God says. Faith is putting our plans in place and preparing for the future, not based on what I think, but based on what God says. And so when it comes to this idea of giving and loving and serving, faith isn't that we're going to go into our lives and we're just going to give and love and serve whenever we can, whenever we have a chance. That's not faith. Faith is to begin to build our plan, to begin to look towards the future and say, okay, how does God want me to live? How does God want me to move forward? God wants me to give to those around me. God wants me to be able to help that man who's lying in the ditch, right? So I begin to develop a plan that will allow me to do that. Does that make sense? So as I look towards the future and I look towards my life and the life that I have in front of me, the next 80 years that I have here, and I don't have 80 years left here, right? And many of you don't have 80 years left either, but anywhere from 60, right, 50 to 60, whatever that's in front of us now. And as you look towards that time in front of you, faith is looking at that time and looking at what we've seen here from Jesus Christ, that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And beginning to develop a plan of how we're going to begin to do that. And so as we look at this vision of where we're headed, of what God wants to do here inside of our church, as we look at what's in front of us, we must be prepared. And the first question that you have to ask yourself as you begin to prepare is the question of faith. Do you believe that God will take care of you? Do you believe that you can actually live where you're loving your neighbor as yourself? Where you're giving and serving and loving in that way? It's all about faith. And either you believe it or you don't. But you know where it shows up? It doesn't show up in the situation. It shows up in the plan. And throughout this series, we've been talking about money a lot. And throughout this series, as we're talking about loving and serving and giving, we've been talking about money. And as the stories were told last week, we were talking about money. And these guys were talking about how they're beginning to give more and more and more, and how they're learning to give more and more and more, right? And beginning to put this into practice. But this isn't just about money, guys. This is about our time and our talents and our treasures. This is about all of it. And so when we ask this question of faith, okay, in our lives, are we preparing to make a difference? You don't just see it in your budget. You will see it in your budget because that's our treasures, right? Loving with our time, talents, and treasures, but you won't just see it in your budget. You should see it in your schedule as well. How are you spending your time? How are you utilizing your talents and your gifts? When you look at your plans, when you look at your schedule, when you look at that budget, how are you preparing to give and to love and to serve? And when you look at that, when you look at those plans, do not lie to yourself. How you plan your time and how you budget your money does reflect your faith. And the order in which you plan your schedule and the order in which you plan your budget does reflect your faith. I remember as I was going through college, and after college, as I worked at UPS, I began to work through this idea of scheduling and time, and not only spending time with God, but spending time loving and serving and giving to others. And the budget aspect of it was very simple to me because God is very, very clear in His Word about giving to Him and giving to others. And so God says, listen, you need to bring to me and give to me the first 10% of what I've given to you. He's very clear about that. And so for me, it was very obvious, and He's very clear about how to do that. He says, you need to give that first. And this was a difficult thing for me because as I went through college and coming out of college, even as a manager at UPS, I live my life in debt. I mean, I always had credit card debt. I could not get out of it. From college on, I just could not get out of it. And so I would plan out my budget, and I would be like, okay, this is how much I'm going to spend here, this is how much I'm going to spend here, this is how much I'm going to spend here, and then I'm going to pay off my credit card with the rest of it, right? So that I can begin to tithe and give to God what He says that I should give to Him. right? But God says, no, 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 no. You need to give to me first. You need to give to others, and then you need to look at what you have left, and then you need to begin to budget and build off of that. And I said, that's great, God, but as soon as I get this taken care of, I'll do that. And God looked at me and said, no. And I can remember very clearly the conversation that I had with God where God said to me flat out, you will not get out of debt until you begin to obey me. Until you begin to follow me, until you begin to put this into practice, you will not get out of debt. And so I sat down one day and I said, okay, I've failed long enough. I'm going to try it your way. And to this day, I cannot tell you how it happened, but the first month that I said, okay, God, I'm going to give to you, I'm going to give to others, and I'm going to live off of what's left. The first month, I was out of debt. It was unbelievable. And I'm not telling you that that's going to happen with you because God works with all of us in different ways, but I think that God specifically wanted me to see that, listen, if you follow me, I will be faithful. I will come through. I will provide for you. And I'm not telling you it's going to happen in 1 month, but I guarantee you this, he will be faithful. He will provide for you. And it's not just what our budget looks like, but how we put it together. And so if you're putting together your budget and you're saying, okay, I got to take care of this, and this is what I have left for God and for others, you're not going to be prepared. You're not going to be ready to be the Good Samaritan. You're going to miss it. And the same thing was true of my schedule. And I began to work through my schedule and I looked at, okay, this is what I have to do this week and this is what I have to get done and this is what I have to do and this is where I need to be. And then this is the amount of time left that I have to be able to spend with God and to serve others. And God began to work on me and he said, Chris, it's the exact same thing. It doesn't work that way. And he said, when you begin to lay out your schedule, it can't work where I'm the last thing to go in. It can't work where love is the last thing to go in. And so I began to work through my schedule and I began to say, okay, God, this is the time for you. This is my time for loving others. And then this is what I have left to do. And we talked about this a couple months ago, right? Where you're looking at what you have to do and the amount of time that's left, and you're like, unbelievable, I'm not going to be able to get it done. But I'm telling you, when you begin to do that, God fills that gap. And I began to schedule this way, and I began to see the same thing happen with my time and my talents that was happening with my treasures. The first question you're going to have to ask is the question of faith. And as you look at your schedule and as you look at your budget, it's a question of faith. Are you going to follow God? Are you going to give to others? Are you going to experience what he wants you to experience in this passage? Are you going to be a neighbor? And then the second question and the second obstacle that you're going to face is the obstacle of the plan. And for a lot of you, you have great faith, man. I mean, you want to do this. You want, and you give to God first, and you're giving to God first in your time, but you're not making a plan. It doesn't work that way. That's why God gave us Proverbs. That's why he brings us back to this picture of the ant. That's why Paul, when he's talking to the church in Corinthians, listen to what Paul says to the church in Corinthians. He says, now regarding your question about the money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, you should follow the same procedure I gave to the churches in Galatia. On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and try to collect it all at once. Paul says, listen, plan this out. You have to have a plan in place. And so next weekend as a church, we're going to be coming together here in this location to be able to hold a financial planning seminar. At the end of this summer, we're going to be holding a time management planning seminar. Why? Because we want to live this out. And we can't live this out without a plan. You can't live out what Jesus Christ says at the end of this, where he says, yes, now go and do the same, if you're not going to prepare. And so as we wrap up this series and we look at everything that God's had in store for us, we look at this foundation of realizing it's all been given to us, and we have this opportunity to be able to invest in eternity. We look at the motivation that we've been loved, that we were the one in the ditch who was brought out, that we've been saved. When we look at how God's been faithful in the lives of those around us, guys, we have the opportunity to begin to become that community of givers. But we've got to realize all of this. We've got to begin to act, and we have to prepare. And we have to begin to prepare with faith, and we have to begin to put a plan in place. You see, for far too long, we've been living our lives and we've been looking at what God's given us. And we've been looking at what wasn't ours to begin with, what we weren't entitled to. And we've been looking at this box that God's given us. And you guys can open that box now. If you can, good luck. You see, guys, for far too long, we've been looking at what's been given to us. And we've been opening it up and we've been saying, wow, God is so good. Look at what I have. And we've been opening it up and we've been taking in what God's giving to us and saying, wow, look at how much God loves me. And we've been taking what he's given us and we've been spending it on ourselves. And we've been missing out on everything that he wanted for us. Because you see, God didn't give us this gift so that we could experience a life of selfishness. God didn't give us this gift so that we could get to the end of it and have one really great life. God gave us everything that we've been given for the chance to change someone else's life. And you look at this change, and at the end of the day, we have a choice. We can live for our lives, and we will get to the end of our journey, and we will have exactly what we invested in. Or we can begin to live for the lives of those around us. We can begin to live for change. And we'll get to the end of the journey. And what we have will have been multiplied hundreds, if not thousands of times. This week, my wife called me on the phone. And she was crying. And my wife goes through these sections of her life where she becomes very, very adamant about owning a place in Hoboken, which for us is not a very realistic goal. And she becomes very, very concerned. It usually has something to do with when someone, one of her friends owns, when someone finally buys a place. And this time it had to do with that exactly. And so one of her friends had bought a place just a couple blocks from us. And so recently she's been looking at, okay, well, how can we save and how can we do this? And how can we get to the point where we have enough money to be able to put a down payment on a place? I mean, it takes so much money to be able to do that. And so she's been calculating things and working through things. How can we begin to save? And as she was doing that, over the past couple of weeks, God's been having a conversation with her, and finally on Thursday, she called me crying. And she said, God just keeps asking me this question. She said, for the past week, over and over again, God's been asking her, if I give you $50,000, will you really spend it on yourself? She said, for the past few weeks, over and over, God's been asking her, if I give you $50,000, will you really build and own one home for one family? And for her, this is a very unique question because inside of her dinner group, she has someone who's raising money to be able to build an orphanage in northern India. And she called me and said, how can I possibly spend $50,000 on a house for our two kids? And that's our goal. Nobody freak out. I shared this with my dinner group and they're like, you're pregnant? No, we're not pregnant, but that's our goal. And she said, how can I possibly spend that money to house two kids when I could house 100 orphans? You see, that's what happens when you begin to take Luke 10 very seriously. That's what happens when you begin to open this box and realize that the truth is the gift God's given you isn't what's inside. The gift God's given you is the opportunity to change someone's life. And that's where life is found. The gift God's given you is the chance to be a neighbor. And when we do, we'll discover just how true the words of Jesus Christ are when he says, it's better to give than it is to receive. Will you pray with me? Father, today as we sit here and the noise that's going on around us and everything that's happening, I pray that this message wouldn't be lost. I pray that we would be able to hear from you, that you would speak to our hearts, that your spirit would be alive in this place, that it would cut to the very soul of who we are, because not because we should, not because we need to, but because if we get to the end and we're not a neighbor, if we get to the end and we miss this, we will have missed out on being truly alive. Father, I pray that you would do whatever it takes in our lives to begin to move us towards this vision where we become a community of givers, a community of people who are pouring our lives into one another and into the community around us. In Jesus' name, amen.